Well, welcome to the gathering, and we're going to jump into the lesson tonight on the value of grace. Before we jump in, let's just all pray together. Father, thank you so much for your great grace. For your grace, Lord, that has saved us, your grace that is there for us in our time of need. Lord, that you thought about grace, and you thought about what your people would need, Lord, and you thought about everything that we need for everyday life with you. And so I thank you for grace, and I ask that you open our eyes to see your grace in places we've missed it. I pray tonight would be like a treasure hunt, and Lord, we would just find little treasures that can shed light on what we need to hear and what we need to go forward, and we would find tools to use in the days ahead. And so I ask that you just speak through my words, Lord, and speak to each and every heart that's listening. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the word grace is thrown around quite casually, I think, in Christian circles. And it was a word that I grew up hearing. I heard the word quite frequently as a young girl, and in my adulthood, heard the word grace. But it wasn't until a number of years ago that I began to really understand what that word meant. I mean, I know it had to do with salvation and, you know, that it was free, but that was probably about the extent of what I knew about grace. And so tonight, I want to jump in and talk a little more about that. Grace, to me, is like a very valuable coin. It's like a coin that has two different sides. And I think that was something that I was missing in my understanding, is that there were really several meanings of the word grace. One definition, and if you want to fill in the blanks on your study guide, on your notes tonight, you can. One definition or one side of this valuable coin is that grace is free, and it is the unmerited favor of God on the undeserving. It's unmerited blessing. Grace is something that you're just given just because. Have you ever had somebody be just nice to you and they don't have any real reason, they don't know you, but they just do something kind and it happens on a day when you just really needed it? I had that happen not too long ago. I had one thing after another go wrong. You know, I've mentioned about just some of the things I'd gone through with just the remodeling of my house, and something broke in the house, and I was having to fix it, and Stephen wasn't around, and it was just, I felt like that day I was just going over hurdle after hurdle after hurdle. And I was driving back to Kerrville from Uvalde, and a rock hit my new windshield that I had just had replaced less than a month before. And so there was this little ding in there. And I thought, I've got to get that fixed when I get to town because it's so hot, I don't want to have to buy a whole nother windshield. And the guy that was supposed to come fix it, he didn't show up. And so I had just a few minutes, and I ran someplace else here in town, and I pulled up, and it was a guy that I knew, and I said, can you help me? And he said, sure, pull it right in. And so he fixed it. And in 5 minutes, in fact, I'd taken my computer, I was prepared, I was, well, okay, well, I'll work while we get this done. And he came in about 5 minutes, he goes, oh, it was a real easy fix. And I said, okay, thank you so much, that's great, I can be on my way, what do I owe you? He said, you don't. I said, what? He said, no, this one's on me, I just want to bless your life today. And it was just the kindness of God. It was just grace on a day when I really needed some grace. It was just something kind. It wasn't that I couldn't have paid for it. it was just a very kind gesture by someone that was grateful for some things that I had done. And so grace is undeserving. It's free, and it's a gift from God. We have to understand that grace is free, and it's a gift from God. You cannot earn it. Some people think that if they do good works, if they do this, if they do that, if they do this right, they do that right, that something you should, all everything else should go well, right? And I'll have to say that for a part of my life, I really thought, you know, I've done this right, I've done this right, I've done this right. And therefore, when some bad things began to happen, I was bewildered. I didn't understand why those happened. And I heard a message one time, and it was about our self-righteousness. And I quickly had to say, aha, aha. I was taking credit for the things I'd done right and thinking, therefore, I deserve this or that. And the Lord really showed me how grace is free. It's free. And to think that we are owed something in some capacity can oftentimes be our own self-righteousness. The key word about studying tonight with grace is that it's free. And I think that's one of the blanks you can fill in. We've got to understand that. It's just a gift. Just a gift. Let's look at in your Bible. If you've got your Bible and you want to turn to it, you can turn to it. In John 1, verse 17, we're going to look that up. It says, but the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth were given by Jesus Christ. Back, if you study history in the Bible, the Ten Commandments were given, and those were the law. And God gave those Ten Commandments not because he wanted us to just do X, Y, and Z. 1, 2, 3, 4, well, there's 10 of them. So 1 through 10, he gave those as a protection. And if you really study those 10 commandments in Exodus, they're there for a protection. They're not a bunch of do's and don'ts. They're there because when you do those things, or do not do those things, God says, then there's blessings that come in your life. But when Jesus came, a whole new season was ushered in. And so right here, John 1:17 tells us that grace and truth were given by Jesus Christ. Let's look at Ephesians 2, verse 8. And while you're turning to that, I'm going to talk a little bit more just about grace and truth. You know, grace, God brings us, and we're going to talk about just what grace provides, but Jesus brought truth. And I'm telling you, that is a powerful statement. Sometimes when things aren't adding up in my life, or I'm listening to something and I'm like, something's not quite right. When I go to God and say, Lord, reveal truth to me. Reveal truth where things aren't adding up. Reveal truth in my life where I'm believing a lie. I feel this way, but maybe it's not the truth. Sometimes we can deceive ourselves. And I'm so grateful that when Jesus came, he came to bring truth. So in Ephesians 2:8, let's see what else we can learn about grace. It says, for it is by grace that you have been saved. When we invite Christ into our life, when we say, I need a Savior, I need my sins forgiven, we can receive Christ as our Savior. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God. There it is again. I'm not making this stuff up, folks. It's a gift from God. It's not by works, so that no one man can boast. You know, there's certain religions that really teach you've got to do this, you've got to do this, you've got to do this, and then you will be saved and go to heaven. And that's not necessarily what I find right here in Scripture. It's saying His grace, His provision for our sin is free, and it's a gift right here. And I was thinking about this lesson as I was working on it this week, and I said, okay, I'm going to write this. It's like Jesus is telling us, and this is Kathleen's version, okay? This is not the King James or the Message or the New American Standard or Amplified or whatever. It's like to me, it's like Jesus tells us, hey, I want to give you something. Let me have your sin, and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you eternal life. I'm going to give you a relationship with me, a new identity, and the power to do what you can't do by yourself. Oh, and by the way, these things are new every morning. And I just had to kind of smile as I was typing along, because it just kind of came out. I was thinking, how can I make this down to earth? And so I just began to go at it. And I thought, Lord, you make it really so simple. Man makes it so complicated in our lives. God wants to give you an abundance when you accept His grace. You know, somebody can give you a present, but if you don't open it up and take it out and use it, it's really not of any value. And it's like the Lord offers us a present, and His present to us is His grace. None of us deserve anything good. Therefore, every good thing comes from above. Let's look at James 1 and verse 7. 1 and verse 7, it says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. All that we have in our lives that is good is from God. Some people are very talented, but at the end of the day, the talent comes from God. Each of us has to choose if we're going to partner with God. That in James 1, 7, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. So, we see, you know, all of us have different talents. Some people can play the piano good. Some of you might have a real talent with art. Some of you might have a real talent in the workplace. God gives us all talents and gifts. And anything good He gives us, it's a gift. Do you see that? I've had to reflect on how many things am I missing? How many gifts have I taken for granted? And how many gifts that the Lord has given me do I need to put into practice? And each of us has a choice. We can waste our gift, and that's a whole nother lesson in the Bible, in the New Testament, of how the guy gives a talent, and the one guy buried it. And the other guy began investing it. God gives us gifts every day. And so my prayer is that your eyes will be opened to the gifts God has given you. Some of them are in your family and you don't even know it. Some of you have gifts in your family that you've overlooked. And so ask God to open your eyes. Ask Him to open your eyes to the gifts and talents that He's given you. And ask Him how you can partner with them. Let's look at Romans 5 and verse 17. I found so many scriptures on grace, and then there were ones I just had to put aside. But man, there is an awful lot that the Bible has to say. So we're going to look at Romans 5, 17. Romans is in the New Testament. It says, for if by the trespass of one man death reigned through one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ. And so what that verse is saying is, because if you go back to the beginning in Genesis, how Adam sinned, Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, and they were told not to eat of this fruit. And when they did, sin entered the earth. And but then God comes and brings redemption through Jesus, and through his death and resurrection, right here it says, those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ. Do you know you have a God-given right to reign in situations and to overcome in situations? You do. And it goes on to say in further down in verse 20, the law was given so that the trespass might increase. But when sin increased, grace increased even more. God has provided an abundant provision in grace. And, you know, sometimes when somebody tells you you can't do something, that's exactly what you want to go do. Okay, y'all admit it. Y'all were kids once, right? And did you ever tell your kids, don't do this, don't touch this? And what's the first thing they go try to do? Touch it. Yeah, but we're just like it, so we can't say anything, right? So, but the Lord is telling us right there that even when we sin, even when we mess up, there's much grace to cover us. And so I want to encourage you, if you're sitting there right now and you're thinking, yeah, but Kathleen, you don't know what I've done. You don't know about this in my life. I've never told anybody about this. God's answer to you right now is, my grace covers it. My grace is enough. And there's nothing you can do that will separate you from God loving you. There's nothing. There's nothing. And Scripture tells us that too. So blessings pour into our lives because of the grace of God. Now you might be sitting there and you might be saying, looking at your life and looking at all the bad things that have happened in your life and say, well, I guess God forgot me. But I'm going to challenge you. No, I think maybe you haven't opened your eyes to the good things that had happened. And I say that because that's the way I was. I would look at some of the tragedies and the bad things that had happened in my life. And y'all heard me tell the story a few weeks ago about how they would sing a song in church, God is good all the time, God is good. And I was like, I'm not singing that. I mean, because that's not how I thought. And I didn't want to be, I wasn't going to fake it. And just how God began to rearrange things to open my eyes to see the good things. But yes, bad things happen to good people. And good things happen to bad people. That is just life here on earth. And I think the good things happen to bad people, or people, and I say bad people, I don't even like doing that, but it's a good visual for you. Good things happen to people that have really messed up in their life. And I think it is God trying to pull them. Because Scripture tells us in Ephesians that it's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. And it's like God saying, but I'm going to give you this blessing because I want you to know me. And I'm going to give you this blessing because I want you to know that I love you. And I'm going to bless you with this. I think so much of the time we limit and don't see God's grace and his goodness in our life. And if we're not careful, we can look at things that have happened that have been heartbreaks in our life, and we can think, well, he must have forgotten me. And that's not true. That's an area where the eraser needs to go, and we need to have our eyes open to the truth that, guess what? We live in a fallen world, and as long as we're here on earth, there are just things that we're going to encounter. And I know some of the things that I've encountered in my life that were devastating have been some of the things that I can share now with others to bring hope in their lives. You know, one of the things in the different losses that I have had in my life and heartache, at the time they were hard. When my mom got sick, it was a real big hurdle for me to get over. I did not get it. I didn't understand it. I didn't like seeing her decline. I didn't like that it happened over a number of years. But what I began to see was in the midst of that, my eyes began to be open to how God was right there with me, walking me through step by step. And it's in those hard places that those things, when God is real to you and you have an experience with Him, that then you really begin to own something and you learn of His character. And so I want to encourage you that if there's a place in your life and you're like, man, I don't know, I don't see that any good has come out of that situation, ask God to reveal truth to you. Ask Him to show you how He sees it. And ask God, you might want to write this down in your notes, ask God to show you where He was in the middle of that disappointment. Ask Him. And then take some time tomorrow or in the days ahead to just sit and listen. And just think about that. Offer that up to the Lord and say, God, I just don't see any good in this situation. And this was hard for me. Would you reveal truth to me? And would you show me, God, where you were in the middle of that? I'm going to pray right now. God, I just ask in those places where, Lord, we need our eyes opened and we haven't seen you in the midst of our devastation, our heartache, our disappointment, I ask that eyes be opened this week and that people see where you were right in the middle of this, their particular situation. Amen. So that is one side of what I call the coin of grace. Let's talk about the other side, and I'm super excited about this other side. Some of you have probably heard that I just shared, but some of this on the other side of the coin is grace is the desire and power to do what is right or what God tells us to do. His grace enables us, that's one of your blanks, enables us to do things that we cannot do in our own strength. I'm going to say that again. Grace is the desire and power to do what is right or what God tells us to do. His grace enables us to do things we cannot do in our own strength. Grace is the empowering presence of God in me that enables me to become all that He created me to be. Excuse me. It enables me to become the person that He sees in me. It's the empowering presence of God. Do you know that you have the empowering presence of God in you to do things that you have no idea that you can do? And that's grace. His presence is there. And how many of you from time to time have, you know what the right thing is to do or the right thing is to say, but there's another part of you, your will, that just says, I'm not going to do it. I don't want to do it. I mean, let's be real. Let's be honest. I mean, I know that that's happened. It's like, I might know what is right, but each of us has a choice. Are we going to do what is right or not? And when we draw on the grace of God to do something that we just don't think we can do, His grace is there. And I think a lot of the times He's just waiting for us to ask. I used to have a little phrase that I would say. I would say, I know there's grace for this, I just have to find it. And I was preaching to myself, really, if you want to be honest. I knew that the power of God was there within me to do what is right. I just needed to access it and use it. For example, have you ever, say, had one of those family gatherings and you're going to it and there's just that person in your family that just is a little bit challenging or difficult? Do any of y'all have any of those people? Okay. And you just need the grace of God to be around some people. Isn't that true? Come on, raise your hand if that's true. It is. There are just some people that you really have to access the grace of God to be around. I'm just telling you. If you don't have any, I'll introduce you to some. But, you know, His grace is there. And I know that that's something that, in being gut level serious and honest, when I have encountered situations that I really just don't want to be in or had to do things I just really don't want to do, they're not maybe within my sphere of my wheelhouse of what I can do well, there have been times that I've just said, God, I need your grace. I need to do this. I remember one time I got a call from my dad, and there was a situation with my mom, and there was no caregiver. And one of the things I have always said is, I am not a nurse. I am so not a nurse. I did never want to be a nurse. And there's some great people here that are nurses, and I'm so grateful for you. But I remember walking into my parents' house, and before I walked through the door, saying, God, I need your grace to go in there and do this in a way that's honoring and dignifies my mother. And I'm telling you, there was God's grace to do it. And that happened time after time again. And that happened with my husband when I was having, my late husband, when I was having to caregive for him. And he lost function of his arm. And it would literally take 45 minutes to wrap his arm to get the compression down so that his arm wasn't huge. And for somebody very skilled that does that all the time, it probably would have taken half of that time. But I quickly found out that they weren't coming every day to my house. And what they had done in the hospital, I was going to have to do. And I remember being, oh my goodness, we were in MD Anderson, and he had had this surgery, and he had, Lisa, you might have to give me the words for it, but he had these drains, and they had, you know, what are those called? Do you know?
They're drains.
Okay, and the nurse came in, and she said, now, before we can release him, we need you to come in, and you're going to have to take a test. You're going to have to show us that you can strip the drains and so that things can be sanitary. And I said, okay, can I have a moment, please? Can I come back in just a few minutes? And she said, sure, I'll wait for you. And I literally had to walk out of the door and go into the ladies' room and look at myself and say, God, I need your grace to do this. Because I was petrified that if I pulled too hard on that thing, it was going to come out. And that can happen. And the thought of having to do that, that I would hurt him even more, was just, it was beyond me. And I'm telling you, I was able to turn around and walk back into that hospital room. And literally I thought, I'm not going to shake, because he needed me to be on my A game at that point. But God's grace was there for me to do something that in and of myself, I could not do. If you asked me to do it right now, I would say, well, I have experience, but I wouldn't want to do that because it's a tedious thing, isn't it, Lisa? You're a nurse, you know. Anyway, God's grace is there, and I'm telling you this story because you're in situations that you think, I can't do that, or I sure hope I never have to do that. I'm telling you, you can. If I can, and if I can access the grace of God, I'm an ordinary girl. You can too. So I challenge you to access God's grace to do some things that you have thought you cannot do. Now, let's turn to Jonah 2 and verse 8. This is a scripture I came across a couple of years ago, and when I did, I was like, oh, wow, I never saw that before. And Jonah 2:8 says, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Let me read it again. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace of God that could be theirs. You know, an idol is something we put before our love for God. It can be a person, it can be a relationship, or it can be a spouse or a child. Another idol can be your job or your hobby. An idol is anything we put before our love for God. It can be an addiction. It can be money. It can be a house or a car. All of these things are good, but become an idol when we put them before our love and worship of God. An idol is anything that occupies our focus. And oftentimes, idols are deceptive. We do not realize something has become an idol until God reveals it to us. And Jesus came to bring grace and truth. So ask Him to reveal truth to you in any area where you've been blinded and to show you any idols you may have. And when I read that, it was like that scripture hit me about what am I putting before you, Lord, that is causing me to forfeit the grace that could be mine. You know, you heard me say, I would say, I just don't have grace for that. And that was just a frequent comment I would make when I didn't want to do something. But I don't make that statement anymore because I know now that grace is available. It's just a matter of me finding it and me accessing and partnering with God. I realize now that I've always had grace. I just didn't know that I always had it. I recently was talking to a young man that was recovering from an alcohol addiction. And as he shared his story with me, I told him about this scripture because I had just come across it. And I told him, and I quoted it from Jonah, and he wholeheartedly agreed that alcohol and drugs were his idol, and he spent way too much time forfeiting the grace to quit his addiction. And so whatever you see that God might be saying, you know, this was okay for this. This was all right, but right now I want to help you. I want to help you in overcoming something where you have said, I'm not going to make this an idol in my life. I'm not going to put it before God what you want in my life. I'm not going to do it. You know, the word forfeit means if you've played any sports, you forfeit a game when you don't even show up, right? You know, the team forfeits if you don't even show up. And what I saw in this scripture was the word forfeit means you don't even try. Are you resisting God's grace that could be yours? Are you not even showing up and asking God for his grace? 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 says, now this one is a good one, and gosh, years ago, my good friend Tammy gave me a little plaque. I don't even know if she remembers this, but she gave me this plaque, and it says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And I keep that right as on a little picture frame right in my bathroom, because that's one place I go in and out of during the day, right? And that's right there to remind me, whatever I'm dealing with, his grace is sufficient. Right there, Scripture tells us that his grace is enough. His grace is there, and it's enough for whatever it is that we need to do. Jesus supplies exactly what we need, and it's all about us just running to him. And this constantly reminds me, this little plaque, and you may even want to write a scripture down. I want to just encourage you to take, if there's a scripture that jumps out, take it, write it on an index card. Put it someplace where you're going to see it. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it on a sticky note in your car. Whatever it is, his grace is sufficient. And that's 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. 1 Peter 5:5 says, tells us a little bit more about grace. It says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Now, this scripture indicates that we need to be humble, and we need to humble ourselves instead of trying to do everything in your own strength. Sometimes we can try to overcome an idol. Sometimes we can try to make things work. Have any of you, sometimes you just try to make something work? Or you don't ask for help? You know, especially people that are self-sufficient or you're just used to doing things by yourself. I want to just say right here, if you don't want people to help you, there could be a really big pride issue. I can do it all by myself. Now, that's really cute when a 2-year-old says it. Do y'all remember? by myself. But it's not so cool when you're older in God's eyes. He put us in families. He put us in marriages. He put us in the body of Christ. And it's okay to call and ask people to pray for you or help you. That's not a sign of weakness. I sent a text to a couple of my dear friends just today. I had a good morning. I had a sweet time with the Lord. Tonight happens to be the 10th anniversary of when my late husband passed away. And I had just, you know, I was thanking God this morning and just had some sweet tears this morning in journaling with the Lord, just on how far he brought me and my family and just his goodness. And I got in my car and drove from Uvalde and I'm heading here. And I walked into my house that we still have our house that Joe and I lived in. And all of a sudden, that house was awfully quiet and awfully lonely. And it was just like a wave of grief after 10 years. Just, whoo. And I was undone. And so I sent, after just a little bit of time, which was good. You know, sometimes we just need to cry. We just need to get those tears on. Now, life has moved on and many wonderful things have happened. And I'm grateful for my husband, Stephen, and who he is in my life and has been for me and my children. But there was just that wave of grief that hit me. And I still had to finish some things and get things done. And so I sent a text to some friends. I said, I just need you to pray for me. I just need you. That's not weakness. That's the body of Christ in people supporting us. And so I had to just kind of shake my head and say, Lord, you know I need your grace tonight to do and deliver the message. And it's not a God knew 10 years from now where I would be. And I had maybe subconsciously known, but not consciously really put all the pieces together until it arrived. But God's grace is sufficient in our time of need. So call on it, access it. You're much more capable than you think, but you don't have to be a Lone Ranger and just do everything in your own strength. Grace is waiting for you and it's waiting for me. And His power to do what we cannot do of ourselves is a tremendous, tremendous gift. Don't waste the grace of God or forfeit His grace. Don't let your pride be a stumbling block. Look at both sides of the coin of grace and spend it daily. Jesus, we already talked about the scripture of how Jesus was full of grace and truth. And I want to just highlight this in a little bit different way. Scripture tells us that we're made in His image, right? We studied that. We're made in His image. So guess what that means? We're full of grace and truth. Look at your neighbor and say, you're full of grace and truth. You're full of grace and truth. Now don't look at him and think of something else. The next time that you want to say something derogatory to somebody, instead of, you can use this. You're full of grace and truth. You know, speak those things that are not as though those were they were. So, but what does this mean? And how does this happen in our everyday life? You know, for me, it began by realizing His desire and asking Him to fill me each day full of His truth and His grace, and to access that wonderful gift. And then one time, right when I had found this was around Christmas time, there was a situation that happened. There was a test. You know, sometimes we can learn something and then there's that test. We get the opportunity to practice it. We get the opportunity to practice what we've learned. And the test came. And someone that had hurt me years ago, that pain kind of resurfaced. And as the tears, I was in church, and I remember the tears just began to roll down my face because it was just a reminder of the offense and what had happened. And even though I had forgiven, I'd had to choose over and over again to forgive, that pain was still there. And as we were worshiping that Sunday morning, the tears began to roll. And it was like I saw in that moment, as I had my eyes closed, I just saw the Lord, and my hands were open. I was just kind of worshiping in this position at church. And it was like the Lord handed me a present, and that was the gift of grace. And He said, now take that gift and pull it to your heart. Pull my grace to your heart where that pain still is. And so I want to give that to you. If there's a place that you can say, Kathleen, I've really forgiven, but I still need more healing in that. You know, there's a difference in forgiving and healing. You may have forgiven somebody and moved forward, but then there's also that place where our hearts have to be healed. If we have a heart, let me rephrase that. You have a heart. You have a heart. I know in my own life, I had put walls around my heart because I had been hurt and I didn't want to get hurt anymore. So I didn't share my heart like I needed to. And those walls kept love from coming in and kept me from receiving God's love. And that's a whole different message. But I think sometimes those barriers that we put because we're trying to protect ourselves, God's like, let me have that barrier. It's okay to be honest and open with me. And it's okay to be open and honest with someone close to you in that situation, in those situations. But if there's an area where your heart has been hurt, maybe you've been betrayed by a friend, maybe you've been betrayed by a coworker or a pastor or a leader, Maybe they weren't there for you when you needed them, or they didn't understand you. In those places, pull the grace of God to your heart and give it to the Lord. You know, in my study of grace, I found many adjectives that described grace. And here are some of them that I found, and I think these are some of the blanks for you to fill in. Abundant grace, sufficient grace, the riches of His grace, confident grace, much grace and surpassing grace. You know, surpassing means incomparable or outstanding. And that's what kind of grace God gives us. He doesn't just give us the generic brand. There's nothing wrong with generic stuff. I buy generic stuff. Now, if it's tea, I have to have good tea. But I'll buy other stuff generic. Abundant grace, sufficient grace, the riches of His grace. His grace is rich. Confident grace, much grace and surpassing grace. And maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, you know, for this situation, I need surpassing grace. I need something that's outstanding and incomparable. That's the kind of grace God gives. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Let's look at that. It says, "Let us approach God's grace. Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Right there, the word tells us God doesn't want you approaching like a little worm or something hidden. He wants you to approach His throne of grace with your head up and saying, "Jesus, fix it. Jesus, I need you." He wants us to approach it with confidence because guess why? He loves you. He loves you. Nothing can separate you from His grace and His love and His mercy. And there's some of you tonight that are sitting here, I feel very strongly, you don't feel worthy. You look at your life and the things that you've done that maybe don't measure up, and you think, yeah, but that's for somebody else. No, God says it's for you. And He wants you to approach His throne of grace with confidence. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8 says, listen to this one, it's a good one too. "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, so that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work." Right there, God promises that He's going to make all grace abound toward you. I think for most of us, we just haven't been asking God to do that. He promises, right? I'm telling you, folks, He wants us to partner with Him. It's been there all along. We just haven't opened the present. We haven't accessed His grace. 1 Peter 1 and verse 2 says, "Grace and peace be yours in abundance." Do you know that grace and peace are yours in abundance? So look for them. I just want to encourage you to go on a little treasure hunt and ask God to highlight His grace in your life and open your eyes to see it. And then 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. It says, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ..." The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like God sends us to the Creator of grace. Not just somebody that thinks they know about it. He says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And when I read that, gosh, it was maybe, I don't know, sometime last year, I read that scripture one day, and it was like, I read that, and I was like, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got grace, I've got the love of God, and I've got the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And whatever problem I was dealing with at that time, it was like, ha, no, I've got all that I need. It's right here. I just need to access it. I've got the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, do you realize? I mean, look this up in your Bible. It's really there. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God. You've got somebody that loves you all the time, that knows everything about you and adores you. The love of God and the fellowship. We've got the Holy Spirit, who's the greatest comforter. He's the greatest friend. It's the Holy Spirit that taps on your shoulder and says, do this. Or taps on your shoulder and says, don't do this. Don't say that. It's not going to look good. It's not going to be good for you if you do that. Those are the times when the Holy Spirit is tapping on our shoulder. You've got the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That's a lot of power. And I want to close tonight. I want to close with a prayer. Let me see if I can get this on. Just some music. But I also want to just close with a quote. You get that? It's not coming on? Huh? Okay. Well, maybe we won't have it. I want to close with a quote from Graham Cook. And it is, there are no more good days or bad days, just days of grace. Some days you need His grace to get through. And other days, you just get to enjoy the grace God gives. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your great, abundant, surpassing grace that you give to each of us. Thank you, Lord, that we're saved by grace. Lord, a gift from you. Lord, that you take our sins in exchange, you give us abundant life. Thank you for sending Jesus to provide that. And thank you for just the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and your great love and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, I pray as each one leaves tonight, as each one listens by podcast, God, that your Holy Spirit would just surround them and speak to them. Lord, just let people open our eyes to see your grace. And Lord, I just pray for an excitement to partner with you in accessing your grace. You've made us much more capable than we see ourselves. And I just bless each family represented and listening in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask Tammy and some of the other team members if they'll go over and be available for anyone that needs prayer. And y'all have a great week. We'll see you next week. I can't wait to hear all the testimonies. If you enjoyed this episode of The Gathering, you might consider becoming one of our patrons. You can click on the link on the podcast, and your monthly support of $1, $5, $10, or $25 would be appreciated to help keep this podcast going. Thank you so much.